everyone. I am Victoria Flake, a senior in our youth group. As many of you all know, I have gone to Haiti twice. I have loved my experience, and I always expected to go and shine my light for our kids in Haiti through the Bible school we do each year. But this past summer, it was completely different than what I expected. I expected to go and be the light of Christ to them, but instead, this year, the light of Jesus was shown to me more than I could have ever expected. All the children at Taco are special, but there's one child who tugs at my heart the most. Her name is Shanida. She will be turning 9. We have created a bond over the past 2 years. This year, it was different. When I came to Haiti, she created a little gift for me. I never expected to receive anything. You see, aren't we the ones who are doing the giving? We, the mission team up from our conference, are going to Haiti to bring the light. Isn't that how it works? We come bearing gifts, supplies for them. We are the gift givers, right? Well, much to my surprise, she had gifts for me. She had created little letters over time while I was gone. There were 5 or 6 drawings/letters in the envelope. Now, from last year, I was prepared for gifts of the smiles, and trust me, if you want to see the light shine of Jesus, go on a mission trip with Louisa to Taco and see the light shine through the faces of all the children when you arrive. I have never experienced anything like that. It is fantastic. But this year, the actual gifts given to me took me by surprise. Many of the children had created bracelets for each one of us, and some of us have a couple on our wrist. Shanida made me one. But what touched me the most were the letters and drawings she had created for me over the year. Gifts for me. This 8-year-old girl had thought about me long after I returned home, and throughout a whole year. Yes, we had a bond. A bond made through the light of Jesus shining in both of us. This past summer, we were able to go to church with the kids. This was an awesome opportunity. We were all sitting in the pews with kids on either side of us. Even though we did not understand the language, we were able to worship with them and love our God together. These kids were amazing to watch. When it was time to sing a hymn, they would stand up and sing as loud as they possibly could. They would have their hands in the air worshiping. You could really tell they loved God. Talk about shining the light of Jesus. Trust me, his light was shown. That was one of the amazing experiences for me. I could not understand a lot of what they said, and I did not know what I was saying sometimes, but it was amazing to watch. They would have a choir like ours, but they moved and danced, and I was amazed of how much the kids loved worshiping them. I love watching, but I also loved worshiping. They truly showed me the light, right then especially. I loved being able to worship and go to church with them. I would have never expected to get so much out of it. They did not care who we were once we walked into that worship place. We were all children of God. They loved us and were ready to worship with us. I hope that this church knows they are the light of Jesus too. My Aunt Laurie, who's going to Haiti, is not something you can do right now, but she shines her light. She helped me get to Haiti by shining the light of Jesus through her chicken salad. Now, if you don't think light can shine through Jesus, through chicken salad, you have never tasted Aunt Laurie's chicken salad. Each one of us helped our team go shining our light, whether you brought chicken salad, donated to the yard sale, or stayed after church to eat hot dogs. Together, we all shine his light. We may not be able to go and do the things that Dan and Louisa do. We can't all build an orphanage, but we all can light a candle. But just as important as lighting your candle before others, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we have to prepare ourselves to receive it. Jesus' light may come to you in the face of an 8-year-old girl from Haiti, and we need to prepare ourselves to receive it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Brendan Rooney, and I just want to start off with a verse that Slayton read, John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. So this summer I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Honduras. And I was pretty nervous, first of all, because it was my first time going, and the only things I've heard are the things that my brother has told me. So I didn't know what to expect. I was going alone. I flew with six people from a church in Gastonia that I had never met before. The only person I knew was a friend of my brother's and a friend that I work with and I talked to one time. And we had no communication at home at all, so my mom was probably freaking out at home. She had no idea what I was doing. The hardest and scariest part actually was the flight, because we had to get up around 4:30 in the morning, fly from Charlotte to Houston. When we were in Houston, we had 5 minutes to get from... Oh, first of all, if you've ever been to Houston Airport, it is huge. So we land in Terminal B and had to get all the way to E in 5 minutes. And so we were, like, sprinting over there, and I didn't get to sleep any time on the way from Charlotte to Houston, so I was exhausted. So I finally got to sleep on the flight from Houston to Honduras, and we wake up. The person I was sitting next to woke me up. She was like, "You've got to see this when we're flying into Honduras." So the flight from Houston to Honduras is probably like 2 hours and 30 minutes. But we're probably in Honduras for about 45 minutes till we actually land, because you have to fly in and around these mountains. And the person wakes me up, and I'm sitting on the window. I open the window, I look out, and I see a house window right outside the airplane window. So you're flying in, and you're right next to houses right as you land. And when you land, it's so, like, everyone claps for the pilot because it's so difficult. And I was told that before I left. It's like, oh, that's real comforting, isn't it? So we land there. We have to go through customs. That takes about an hour. The rest of the team that was there the week before was waiting there for us. I think the whole country of Honduras was in the airport waiting for us out there, just waiting for their friends and family to land. So we get a quick lunch at Popeye's and then take a 7-hour bus ride up to the village. And so the village we went to was called Belen Manazapa. No white or North American people had ever been in that village. So just as much as we were nervous to see them, they were nervous to see us because they had never seen white people before. And they're very offended when we call ourselves Americans, because they are just as much as Americans as us. So we have to always say, referring to us as North Americans, because they're from Central America, so they're also Americans. We pretty much had the same schedule every day. In the mornings, we would be assigned construction groups for the day. We would either be mixing concrete to put in floors, or we would be redoing their roofs, because these people lived in wooden shacks with rusted tin roofs. So we think just a concrete floor is just nothing, but that can actually take away some diseases they can get from sleeping in the dirt, and then the tin roofs can keep the rain off, because oh my gosh, does it rain there. I think it rained for at least 2 hours every night, and it is so windy, so that helped them a ton. And then in the afternoons, we sent a group out evangelizing, but I stayed back and helped with the vacation Bible school program for the kids. So I don't know much Spanish at all, so obviously I couldn't tell anything to the kids. That's so we had translators there. But we would play games, I think, for 4 to 5 hours every night, because these kids, as soon as the boys turn 8, they have to go into the fields and help their parents work, because that's their only way of surviving. So just throwing a frisbee or passing a soccer ball or just playing tag just lit these kids up and made them so happy and excited, because their parents do not have the time to do that with them. Just simple things we take for granted here just probably made their week, made their year for them. And so God, I felt called because God calls us when we get into a relationship with Him to spread the light of Jesus to the to everyone. And you don't have to go on these big mission trips or anything necessarily related to a church or a mission group like that. One of the simple ways, if you can see someone that maybe is just kind of down or depressed, just smile at them, give them a hug, go up, talk to them, ask them how their day is going. On this mission trip and any mission trip in general, we're called by God to go do work for Him and be His light. Showing the light of Jesus doesn't force us to go on trips like these. One of the easiest things is to give a smile or hug. Once we decide to follow Jesus, we don't spread that love and that light of Jesus because we have to. We do it because Jesus put that want in our hearts to do it for His glory. I challenge you this week to seek out how you can bring the light of Jesus into someone's life this week, even if it is just to smile at someone. Thank you.
Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Megan Ferris. I'm a senior at Ash Creek High School, and I have been a member at Myers forever. Throughout high school, I have involved myself in various sports, including dance, soccer, and basketball. But recently, I have taken something new up, CrossFit. And before you think to yourself, oh boy, she's one of those CrossFitters who is constantly talking about their workout, trust me, I'm not one of those people. However, I have found something very interesting about CrossFit, and I'd like to share it with you all. To me, CrossFit is like fate, and today I want to explain to you exactly what I mean by that. For those of you who do not know, CrossFit is a high-intensity fitness program incorporating elements from several sports and types of exercise. Every day, there is a new workout of the day, or as we know it, a WOD. Before you start the WOD, you have a strength exercise, also kind of a warm-up. And after the WOD, you have a buyout, or a cool-down. I bet most of you right now are really confused on why I think CrossFit is like faith. But do not fear, for I'm about to share with you what I mean when I compare the two. As I step into the gym and start on my strength, I feel, I guess, strong. I feel like I know what I'm doing, and I know that every time I work on my strength, I challenge myself to use more and more weight. I feel like the strength portion of the workout is like going to church. When I go to church, I feel like I'm stretching my faith. Every time I go to church, it's like adding more weight. I add more knowledge about God, and I always walk out of church feeling stronger in my faith, feeling like I can handle anything coming my way. But then I get to the WOD. As soon as the WOD clock starts, I find myself wondering why I thought I could handle this workout. Every workout is very hard, and when I say hard, trust me, I mean hard. Sometimes I even find myself wondering if I can make it through the workout, but somehow I always do. To me, the WOD is like facing a challenge. When a major challenge comes my way, I often find myself questioning why God is letting this happen to me. Or why is He putting me through this? But I find myself pushing through the challenge. At the end of the day, I always survive. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." The Bible tells us to not give up, to push through the struggles and challenges because light will be there at the end. As I begin my buyout, I start to feel the soreness coming on. I feel completely exhausted. The buyout helps me regain composure before I leave the gym. It lowers my heart rate and calms me down. To me, the buyout is like prayer. When things aren't going my way or I am forced to face a major challenge, I get myself all worked up and stressed and complain about it. But then I remember that the only way I'll get through it is by talking to God. He helps me to regain my composure, and He calms me down. Isaiah 29 says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." God calms us down. He gives us strength to help us walk through life. By the time I walk out of the gym, I feel accomplished, but also very sore. I feel like I have completed the impossible, and I look forward to doing it again on the next day. When it comes down to it, faith is exactly like CrossFit. You build yourself up by going to church. You face challenges that feel impossible, but then finally you realize that you must turn to God to get through it. And at the end of every day, or at the end of any challenge, you feel accomplished. You feel that your faith has passed one of the very many trials of life, and you succeeded through it with the help of God. As we leave today, I challenge each of you to find your CrossFit.
So Victoria, Brendan, Megan, thank you for bringing us God's word today. Thank you for sharing your faith with us. Church family, I'm always humbled at how much faith young folks have and how confidently and articulately they share how God is working in their life. I just want to highlight a couple of things that they've said that we can take with us, that we can continue to grow in our faith, that we can be like Megan has shared with us and grow in our faith, use our church family as the opportunity to find ourselves grounded, to make this be the place where we find God's love in such powerful ways that wherever we go, we know that we can handle life because we have God. We've been grounded in our faith. I'm sure many of us, like Megan, in our daily lives, what in the world is going on? How in the world can I handle this? And yet, we have a God that allows us to navigate all of life's struggles by putting our trust and putting our faith in God. Brendan talked about being called. So after we've been formed in our faith, we are called. We are called to take our faith into the world. Victoria said that maybe we can't all, she used Dan and Louisa as an example, so I'll just leave it open-ended. Maybe we can't all do this thing, this huge, large thing, and yet all of us can light a candle. We are called to light that candle. We are called to take that light into our communities, into our world, and to share it in bold and courageous ways. I thank our young people for leading the way for us. And perhaps it will challenge us and strengthen us to be more grounded in our faith, to live out our calling, and to shine the light of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go. Friends, this morning you've seen the impact that God does through this church in the lives of young people. I give God thanks that they are involved in a youth program, in a Sunday school, in a youth group ministry, but that they're also living out their giftedness. They are participants in our chancel choir. We have youth who sing in our praise band. We have youth who help make sure sound happens in the church. We have youth who help out in our children's ministries. We have youth who are living their faith out, and that perhaps can be an example to all of us to do the same thing. We are so grateful, you all, for your presence here, and I hope that you know that this church loves you and wants the very best for you, and we are rooting alongside of you as you share God's love with the world, and you challenge us to share our love in bold and courageous ways. Friends, as we respond to God's word, I invite you to find your United Methodist hymnal, turn to hymn number 98, and let's stand and sing "To God Be